Couples who wish to marry in the Catholic tradition in Ireland must undergo pre-marriage courses. Some of the courses currently on offer have modernised their content to take account of changing social trends. So last Saturday, Brian O'Connell joined 20 couples for a pre-marriage course provided by David Kavanagh from Avalon. How long does the course last, Brian, and how did you fare?
How are you, Pat? Hard things. Well, it lasts from 11 to 5 on Saturday, and each person who attends, you get a sort of a worksheet each, and there's a series of topics that you have to fill out. So I could see at the start, you know, people were quite resistant to it, but as the day wore on, people lightened up and couples began to mingle and chat amongst themselves. It was led, as you said, by David Kavanagh. He's a trained family psychotherapist, and while it does take account of particular Catholic teachings in relation to divorce, say, for example, it also deals, Pat, with issues to do with children before marriage, and it has detailed information on sex, as we'll hear a little bit later on. Now, the first exercise was a list of questions, and each partner had to answer for each other. So did questions like, who is my best childhood friend? And you would answer for your fiancé. And what's my favourite movie? And you grade each other then on how much you knew about the other partner. I think the highest somebody ever got was 30, and the lowest was minus 13, which, you know, they really needed to join the dots. So before we meet some of the couples, Pat, here's David Kavanagh, and he's talking about the aims of the course.
One of the issues that most people have is that they're together, say, 10 years. They think they know everything there is about their partner, so therefore a pre-marriage course is kind of redundant. So the first thing we start off with is an exercise where they have to just kind of ask and answer questions.
You must have had an occasion where people get an absolutely disastrous score on each other. I mean, that can be a fairly awkward situation.
Yeah, what happens is I used to kind of get people to individually announce what scores they had, and then people get really low scores, like, no, let's just go under 10 is the last bit. So it's funny, it's actually very funny. Most people realise, kind of, yeah, I actually got 6. That's not good. I need to pay more attention, especially if it's in a public domain. So that's kind of good as well.
Quite a bit of chat there about kids and kids before marriage, and it's dealing with the realities of Ireland today, isn't it?
Very much so. I mean, 1 in 3 children are born outside of wedlock. So again, what we hear a lot of the time is that people are getting married to have children. Now, in the very last section, we're going to look at infertility. Like, 1 in 6 couples have infertility issues. So there is this assumption that when we get married, all of a sudden, God will provide us with children. And that doesn't happen for many couples. So it's a bit of a shock to go through that, but it's kind of relevant as well.
Are you married yourself?
I am indeed.
So you must have the perfect marriage, do you?
Not at all. It's one thing to tell other people how to do stuff. It's completely different to put it into practice.
I thought it was a bit of fun when you were asking people what were the main reasons to get married, and two people almost simultaneously said tax breaks.
Tax breaks, yeah, it's a huge one. People think that they're going to have a massive, massive tax increase. It's not the case, of course. So I tell people not to get married for that particular reason. Yeah, people have all sorts of different reasons for getting married, and one of the major challenges, I think, is to come up with 5. Because I push it to people. I push people on this particular question. I say, why are you getting married? And most people say commitment, which is great. But then when you try and push them to come up with 5 different reasons, it's quite a struggle.
Do you know now, you've been at this a long time, do you know, looking at the room full of people, have you an idea in your head? Are you there thinking, geez, I'd say they won't see Christmas?
No, not at all. I mean, sometimes people would have had a row before they come in. Arguing is very positive. It's very, very healthy. It's what couples need to do. My concern is the couples who are too madly in love. They're here going, they're kind of, you know, they're touchy-feely all the time. They're madly in love.
I saw one couple that was a bit of ear-nibbling going on there.
Ear-nibbling is shocking. On a pre-marriage course, Brian, where would you get it?
Anyway, Brian, a lot of couples struggle to come up with 5 reasons why they're getting married.
I know, really interesting. And as he said, when he did ask the question, 2 people shouted in unison, tax breaks. And another guy who was joking, or at least I think he was joking, he said, because her dad's rich. But I guess, Pat, people could come up with 1 or 2 reasons, but when it came to more than that, they struggled. Most people had been together around the 5-year mark, although some were more. He was telling me the shortest he remembers a couple being together was 8 months.
Now, the first couple you met during a coffee break, they told you why they were getting married, while another couple almost didn't make it due to a disagreement about directions to the venue where the thing was going on. Let's have a listen to that.
And at the start there, they were asking what are the main reasons for getting married, and people find it hard to come up with 4 or 5 reasons. How many did you come up with?
2 or 3.
That's not bad.
Yeah, I was happy enough with it. It's naturally, I suppose, the next thing for us to do. You know, we're always going to get married. So.
And how about yourselves? How are you finding it?
No, it's been very good. I suppose it's raised questions. I suppose we wouldn't have thought about ourselves. So.
Like what?
Just each other's good points, bad points.
Start with the bad points.
No, she's no bad points. No,
well,
it's all good.
Late here
we were late.
I got the wrong direction.
She's kicking you here beside
you.
Don't mind, I even said to her last night, let's leave all directions to me. But she decided, no, she was in charge of directions this morning. We were late. So
Jeez, lads, don't have a row now. The next bit now, I had a look through the brochure. There's a lot of stuff about sex in the next special. Could be some very awkward moments coming up.
Could be. You just pray that you don't know anybody else in the room.
I suppose coming up to this week, a few people had sort of said, you know, oh, like, I'm sure you've been going out for 8 years, you've had every son, but actually there's a lot of stuff that probably you've just avoided and you've never really thought of.
So there's lots of practical stuff, like she was saying, Pat, around parenting, expectations about the marriage. Finances were a big thing, and I suspect since the recession there's been a lot more focus on that. He also had a segment on in-laws, which began with a joke, what's the difference between in-laws and outlaws? The answer is, of course, outlaws are wanted.
old joke.
Yeah, some interesting stuff came through about how your own family experience could be a factor in how you behave as a married person. So quite interesting and practical stuff, and what you might do if you hit a rocky patch was another one. Mm.
Now, there was a section on conflict resolution, and one couple in particular caught your interest, and here's why.
So I was struck by the fact there when Dave was saying, hands up here, who's never argued, the two of you, both hands shot up. Wouldn't you tell the truth? You've never argued, ever?
Never. From day one, it's always been very easy. We're both very easygoing people, so been together 4 years now, lived together nearly 2 years, and we've never had an argument. Not yet, anyway.
Also, what's the secret?
I suppose it's just be easygoing. Like, we've never let it get to the point where it needs an argument, you know what I mean? If we have anything, we either I compromise or she compromises, and that's it.
And tell us how you met.
Actually, it was true. My ex-boyfriend actually was going to lunch and invited me and brought Brian with him as well. That was it. We met for lunch a couple of times and then that was it. He asked me out and here we are.
He asked you out, but did he know you'd broken up with the boyfriend?
Oh yeah, I was broken up for a good few months at that stage. Like, but he actually got my number off my ex-boyfriend.
And what about the ex? Will he be at the wedding now?
God, no.
They never argue.
They never have had an argument, which I think is amazing. And most people I met there, you know, did very positive things to say. I think a lot of them had preconceived notions, Pat, that they were going to be lectured to or moralised to, but it really wasn't the case. I mean, I got married 2 years ago. We didn't do a pre-marriage course and I brought home the manual, but there's no way I'm going to show it to the wife. But they discussed things like if one parent gets ill, how would you handle the situation? And then, of course, we got into more personal stuff around intimacy.
Now, the main reason many would attend a course is to get the certificate, mm-hmm. because you can't get married in the Catholic Church without the marriage mm-hmm. course certificate. You learned there's something of a debate as to whether courses run by agencies like Avalon will be accepted into the future.
Yeah, now Avalon is a private agency, whereas other agencies, say for example Accord, they're affiliated strongly with the Catholic Church and they also run pre-marriage courses. And what David was telling me is that some bishops and priests won't accept his course. So if you are thinking of doing this course, you do need to check with your local priest and bishop to see if it'll be accepted. Now, so David explains a little bit about this now, Pat, and he also tees up the next aspect of the course, which deals with sex.
So the certificate is probably the most important thing that people come to a pre-marriage course for. If they don't get the certificate, they can't get married. So it's quite a big deal actually getting the certificate at the very end.
And now, will every church in the country accept this certificate?
Not necessarily. People need to check with their priests, because I have been made aware that certain priests have a preference for Accord, which is owned by the bishop. So, you know, if that's the case, then it's important the couple to check before booking any course, not just mine, but any course, if the priest is going to be happy with that. There's four major issues that affect relationships: be parenting, fertility issues, sex, and money. We cover all of them. I think people, people will learn something today that they haven't really expected to learn on a pre-marriage course about sex, because I think we have this prudish notion that a pre-marriage course is going to be quite conservative and not really talk about things that are of relevance to people. But you'll find in the course that we talk about pornography and how effective that is at ruining relationships and how effective, you know, how much it destroys people's sense of sexuality.
And these are issues that are sometimes never discussed, aren't they?
Not at all. Yeah. I mean, the average pre-marriage course, for example, as far as I'm aware, doesn't tell people about how sex changes with age, how men will experience difficulties just because they get older, not because of something wrong with them. Even though our generation is very much kind of clued into sex, there are certain things even still they're not fully aware of, which is interesting.
Now, I'd say that's the part of the course that participants may find the most embarrassing or difficult to deal with. You've got the course manual there, yeah?
I do, Pat.
Okay, yeah. What kind of questions are asked, and are the couples expected to discuss all of this?
Yeah, okay. Well, you can just give me yes-no answers to these, so, Pat, I'll run through a few. well, most of this part is filled out at home, actually, so it's not discussed in the room. And there's a heading in this segment, it's called Sex After Marriage. Now, there's no question mark at the end of that, I suppose, which is a good thing. And there were some stats given out, Pat, that said that married men have significantly more sex than unmarried men, although he didn't say if this was with their wives exclusively or not. And some of the questions in this would include things like, do you discuss your sexual needs? Who initiates sex? Do you think sex can become boring after marriage? I met one couple, Pat, and they've been together a few years and they've got four kids, one from a previous relationship and two of their own. And it sounded to me anyway that they have the intimate aspect of their relationship pretty well sussed. I asked them first if they were nervous at all about the big day.
Oh yeah, I'm a little bit, yeah. I was in a relationship before for a long time, so my gut does twist a little bit thinking about it.
Do you feel that?
I do, yeah. I don't feel nervous. I kind of feel, I feel excited as well. I feel, yeah, I don't think the nerves have really kicked in yet now, to be honest with you.
Now, the next part of the course in the afternoon, it's all about sex. What about the idea? You're discussing that in front of a room, in front of 20 other couples you've never met.
Doesn't really bother me, to be honest. We're all in the same boat, you know, so I mean, we all have to express our feelings and obviously give ourselves a little bit more confidence that way, I suppose, as well, and make us feel that we're not wrong in some things we do, that we're human as well, like that we can.
I just hope marriage doesn't affect our sex life, because we have a great sex life, so if that does affect it, I'll be highly disappointed. It is a big factor in a relationship that you have to express yourself with somebody through that way, like so.
So what's the secret then?
Laura. She's a big secret, being sexy all the time.
And what's the secret with him, Laura?
I couldn't give away that secret. I'd have me jaw resistance. Now people being outside me jaw banging down. I wouldn't like to say about the regarding the sex situation after marriage. I'm sticking by my word. Things can only get better.
Sex shouldn't be a chore. It should be something that just comes naturally, that two of you want to do. And that's always the case with us. She should never take your sexual life for granted. Like.
Is he romantic, Laura?
He is romantic. He's very romantic, actually. He's actually brought a more romantic side out of me since I've met him, because he is. He's very romantic and he's very caring and loving. And so,
Jeez, you better marry him quick, the way you're describing.
That's what I'm saying. I am. I'm going to get it done.
It's hard work trying to keep your woman happy, all this, so you have to work at it.
You have to work at it.
And lots of flowers, Pat, that's the secret. And he was telling me he always buys her lilies. And, geez, I was very tempted to stop at the Statoil on the way home, but I kept going anyway to Cork. Everyone seemed fairly happy leaving at the end, Pat, and the feedback was very positive. And I thought that they actually looked after the Catholic dogma aspects with respect, and they also took account of realities of both marriage and modern life, I guess. So finally, as the day ended, I asked David, the therapist, if anyone had ever actually broken up during one of the courses.
No, Brian, nobody's ever broken up during the course. I have heard, actually, people who know people, you know, Ireland's such a small place that people have taken the course and then really thought about, is this the right thing to do? And it has got back to me that people have postponed their weddings, for example, which is very sad for me to think that, you know, I've run a course that's, you know, facilitated people postponing their weddings. But at the same time, isn't that what a pre-marriage course is about? Is, you know, it's supposed to help people to understand more about what they are really going to do in their relationship, their marriage. It's a big, big event. People have this kind of idealised notion that it's going to be wonderful, it's going to be fantastic. Probably because when we were children, we heard fairy stories and, you know, everyone lived happily ever after. That's not reality. Marriage is tough work. It's something that people have to really engage in. And sometimes people think that just by being married, it's enough to keep the relationship going. It isn't. And you have to work at that consistently. People are making a huge decision and they don't understand the legal implications of that decision, or the financial implications, or where it's going to leave them psychologically afterwards. And no marriage is idyllic. No marriage is perfect. There are going to be issues in every single marriage that's out there that I've come across in any case. And it's just giving people the skills, the tools and the resources to manage those issues when they arise. That's the most important thing you can do.
Well, I suppose it would be a good test of the marriage course. If you had nobody breaking up, but then they're probably not doing it right.
I know, yeah.
Because the whole idea is to explore whether or not you are made for each other or you can cope with each other. And statistically, there are bound to be one or two couples who go along and say, uh-oh, this is not what we thought we were signing up for.
The alarm bells ring. Yeah, what I thought was interesting was how little some of the couples had talked around finances, you know, who might stay home and mind the kids, and what would happen if one of them lost their jobs. And really it brought out a lot of the kind of practical day-to-day realities of married life that people hadn't really discussed, which is quite interesting. I mean, we just sort of sometimes fall into marriage, don't we, without really questioning too much.
All right, well, the Avalon pre-marriage courses are held in Dublin every fortnight. They cost €120 per couple. You do need to check with your local priest to see if they are accepted into the future. Avalon also runs one-on-one private counselling. You can check it all out at www.avalonrc.com for details. And Brian O'Connell in our Cork studio, thank you very much.